This week's podcast is brought to you by Farmers Bank and Trust Company, Marion, Kentucky.
Well, Rocket fans, we're halfway through the football season. Crittenden County is 3-2 coming into this game against Marshall County, a Class 6A school, which is also 3-2 after the first half of the season. The Rockets come in pretty good shape, good health, in contrast to where we were last year, with a lot of injuries at this time and a lot of other issues that really dampened our season a year ago. And now Marshall County comes in with its own set of injuries. And if you remember back a year ago, Crittenden County played this game very tough against the much larger Marshalls, lost 15-9, I believe was the final score, and was in the game till the very end. Coach Starnes, we've got these big boys again. This time we're going to be down at their place and understand probably their best running back, who has about 500 yards already this season. One game he rushed for almost 300. That was against Callaway County. And possibility he's not going to play at all. And if he does, he might play just on defense.
Yeah, and you don't know, Chris. I talked to their coach, and he said they were banged up, but you don't know how banged up they are. And you know, we faced that last year when they came to our place. It was actually 15-10 that we got beat, and so we were driving the ball there at the end, fumbled at the end, and felt like we had a chance to win that ball game. So it's a different year, and they're apparently feeling the same things that we felt last year, and in that that he told me they had 11 kids out one time for the flu. He said this week he could have some out. So, the difference in them and us is that they have 80-something kids on their roster, and makes it a big advantage when you can put somebody else in there. But I did look at the roster, and they had 6 kids that were listed of going both ways. The Gillen kid was one of them, so we expect him to play both ways.
Of course, they come into this game with 3 wins this season. Their victories are over McLean County, which hasn't won a game this season, and over Webster County, which has just 1 win. Probably the only victory they can really hang their hat on so far is the Callaway County game, and they put it on Callaway pretty well, 48-27, and the Lakers are they're an average football team, and they're 3-3. Their record reflects that.
Yeah, and we got that game, and we watched in the game, Marshall County, they ran the ball down Callaway County's throat, and the Gillen kid was a big part of that. They lined him up in Wildcat formation, and he had several yards there, and then it handed off. They don't throw the ball that often. They don't want to throw the ball that often. They're a spread ball control offense, and they want to move the chains, and they were able to score several times against Callaway, and they played hard. Defensively, they get after you. They pin their ears back. They run a 3-3-5 defense, and in the passing lanes, they have people everywhere. They play man covers with the corners, and it looks like that their free safety, who is the Gillen, he plays about a 12-yard linebacker, and he'll come up and he'll make the play on an ISO for negative yardage. So, I mean, he's very aggressive on the run.
You mentioned moving the chains, and I think if we had to say, put a label on this season halfway through it now, that would be it. The Rockets have certainly moved the chains in each game, really, we've had, other than maybe the Tillman game. We have had 17 first downs in 4 of our first 5 games, save the Tillman game. So 17 first downs, that's moving the chains.
Yeah, and that's what our game plan was coming into this year. That's what we felt like we had to do. The difference was early that we were playing kids both ways, and we weren't substituting, and that's on me as a coach. So we finally figured that out, and after 22 years, you learn something all the time, and we learned that we needed to substitute kids instead of start them, and that's helped us out. So we were able to move the ball and move the chains, but even more importantly, I think it's playing great defense with the games that we won, and even the Trigg County game. We played good defense against good talent. We had a chance to win that ball game. So you know, we feel good about where we are, what we're doing. It's just that we have to make sure we take care of business against a 6A school.
You mentioned defense. Coach Clark's here with us today also. Coach Clark's the defensive coordinator. And you know, we've posted some pretty nice defensive efforts this year, Coach Clark. You know, we've had the shutout last week over Reedland where we held them to minus 14 yards rushing. And, you know, that was the best effort by a Rocket football team since back in 2005 when you played Caverna and you held them to minus 38. You were part of that as well. And that's anytime you take a team and hold them to a negative rushing yard, that's pretty incredible, really.
Well, I mean, it is. And, you know, Kitt said, you know, and we know, too, Reedland had a decent team. Their backs ran hard. They were healthy up front. But our kids got after them. I think they were a little ticked, Chris, that Reedland chose them for homecoming. I think that's the attitude that they took.
And it showed. Yeah, it showed. From the opening stand. Now Marshall County will pose probably a little more of a challenge. They are a running football team, and they've got some guys that they can line up against us and match us toe-to-toe, and this is going to be a little more challenging, isn't it?
They are. Yes, it is going to be more of a challenge. They are committed to running the football. Much like we are, and the Gillen kid runs the ball hard. But, you know, they got two other kids that run the ball hard as well, very quick, and they try to get them out on the corner. I think one of those kids is number four.
Bowen.
And, you know, they run a lot of jet action. They run a lot of toss, and they crack back on the linebackers, just trying to get their speed out on the corner. So, you know, that's a lot like Reedland did as well. And, you know, if we maintain, contain, and fly around to the football and wrap up on defense and make our tackles, you know, I feel really good about our chances.
You know, tackle-wise, this season, Stefan Cozart, I'm pretty sure he leads the team in tackles. I didn't take a look at that cumulative stat, but he is the career leader in tackles currently on the team with 154. And that's where he finished last week's game, and that's good enough to be number 28 on the all-time tackle list. So he certainly will finish in the top, probably in the top 20 for his career, you know, and may creep on up there with another five or six, seven games left in this season. He's been a great one.
Yes, he has. And Stephon takes a lot of pride in the way that he plays. He's a great talent, but he's coachable as well, and he takes a lot of technique to the field. And, you know, he also threw the football. He's got a nose for the football, but he's hard to block. He gets rid of blockers, defeats blocks, and he finds a football. And, you know, you love to have kids like Stephon on your team because, you know, offenses are looking at not running the ball, you know, at him. And that helps you, helps us develop a game plan for what we do when they don't.
You know, he comes from a good football family. His father, Big Stephon Cozart, was a fine football player. He missed his senior year, you know, tragically hurt his knee early in that season. And then his uncle, David Cozart, who was we'll call him a marginal quarterback.
Yeah.
If he hears this, you know, I'm sure he'll disagree. David, of course, went on, and he was a punter at Campbellsville. Great athlete, good player, and a good man. He's actually the minister for the UK football team now, I guess. So the chaplain, I guess, is what you'd call him. And very, very good guy. He and Stephon both, and you know, have really enjoyed watching little Stephon grow up and become big Stephon himself. And a lot of people, a lot of teams respect him.
Yeah, they do. He's a special player, special kid, and we like hanging out with Stephon. He's a good kid, works hard. You know, he's one of those kids that he's a model for other kids. He works hard in the weight room, and he takes it out on the field. And he's been a leader for us on our team this year as well, and he's done good for the Rockets.
Now, are we going to – I don't want to get too much into the defensive strategy, but last week you all put Eli Beebe out over the ball. Is it anything similar to that this week? Or?
Well, I mean, you know, we don't know what we're going to do yet. So we're going to move people around and try to find the best scenario that we can find according to what Marshall County does. So we don't know if they're going to spread it or if they're going to line up in the eye and they're going to run the football. So whatever they do is going to dictate what we do.
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about Jamie Gillen, who is their premier running back, but now this Nolan Nichols, who wears number four, I know you watched the film, and he's a number two guy, and he's pretty good.
Oh, he's a real deal as well. He runs hard. We like the way he runs. From an offensive standpoint, he tries to punish you when he finishes the runs, and they just got some decent talent all the way across. They have some 6'4" receivers out there that they throw the ball up to, and you know we've got some 5-something defensive backs that is just about a foot and a half difference, and you know they're going to have to get up and go after him. So. I know Ron real well. We came from the Murray State together. We know there's some consistencies on things that they do in relation to what we did at Murray, and so we understand that. So it's going to be an interesting ball game, but it's one that we're excited to play.
Coach Clark, how do you teach your defensive backs to play on their tippy toes so they meet taller and play the 6'4" receiver they got?
I don't think we've never had to do that because our our corners have averaged about 5'5" over the past 15 years, I think.
Yeah.
But the thing about our corners, you know, and we got Coach Brown on staff, we got Coach Wheeler on staff, our corners have always played like linebackers in our defensive scheme.
Yeah.
You know, they've been hard-nosed up front, you know, bulldog-type kids. And, I'll say something about our corners, Travis Gilbert and Noah Dickerson, they play with some of the best technique that we've had, you know, in time. So, you know, we're proud of the job that they do. They play good technique. You know, it doesn't matter if we call cover three, cover two, or man coverage, or four deep, you know, they can line up and play all those techniques, and they do a good job. You know, it's not something that we have to worry about week in and week out. We know that we're going to play teams like Marshall. They're going to put a 6'4" kid out there. And they're probably going to throw it up to him a couple times in a game. But I guarantee you, Travis will have good position on him.
Well, you know, this kid, he is a big, tall receiver, Dalton Greenfield. But he's only caught one pass this season. So, I hope this isn't his breakout game.
Well, we want him to throw the football. We think that they're throwing the football, then we've done what we wanted to do, which is to stop the run. And that's what we focused on. From the day one that we've got here, that Coach Clark and I came in Crittenden County, that it's stopping to run. And unfortunately, the game has evolved and everybody's going to the pass more, so we had to try to evolve with it with our defense. And we've been a very aggressive, solid defense from the time that we've been here and game plan that way. So, we're going to go in the same concept that we had this last week, and we want to stop the run, whether it's spread or whether it's in the eye.
And you mentioned Coach Ron Bernard, and you have a little history with him. He's been at Tillman, and he was with Perry Thomas. He went with Perry up to Campbellsville. But tell us a little bit about your time and relationship with him over the years.
Ron, I've known him since he was in school as well before that. He comes through Crittenden County. He's got some farm here or around here or something that he and I have talked several times. Sean Thompson went to Campbellsville. TK went to Campbellsville, and they were up there. We got to talk quite a bit. So I know Ron real well, and I know that he's a good coach, and he tries what he can to get out of his kids, the best out of his kids. And, he'll have a good, solid game plan, and we just have to make sure that we get after him.
Of course, this is his first year, I believe, at Marshall County. Is this second year there?
Yeah, he's
second.
In it.
He
yeah.
was there last year. Okay. Coming into this game, Travis Gilbert has not thrown an interception in 57 attempts. Pretty good.
Another
for
way to break
pretty,
it up.
Pretty,
we don't
pretty good.
Jinx in there. That's right.
Which is
that just means we're not going to throw the football at all.
Second only to J.R. Gray, who went 16 straight games without an interception. But if ever anybody remembers J.R., his first reaction to the pass was tuck it and run. So he wasn't the other.
Yeah, well, J.D. was like that. I mean, he wanted to run the ball first. He didn't want to throw the football. But J.D. had the legs to do that. Travis is a good, solid quarterback. He's very, very smart, very intelligent, reads the coverage well. He does want to try to put the ball in there, force it just a little bit every once in a while. But he throws a nice ball. He's very accurate. So, you know, we're excited to, if we have to throw the ball, then we know that we can, and we've got some receivers that can catch it. You know, Gaston is coming around. He's catching the ball. Asbridge catching the ball. We've got Grant coming out of the backfield. You know, you have Noah Dickerson that can catch the football. You have Dakota Stone that can catch the ball. And then, of course, you have Bobby Knox who can catch the football. So we have a solid core of receivers if we have to throw the ball. The only problem is that, like I said, that Marshall County stacks the box with six guys, but they rush three guys. And it's basically like a nickel package, and they have eight guys dropping in the secondary.
You know, something I do want to mention, of course, I've been a sports writer for a long time. One of the guys I remember most vividly was Alan Cox, who was at Tillman back in their glory years. Of course, they've had some other glory years since then, but year after year he had good teams. And he always said, to be a good football team, you got to win the third quarter. That's when a lot of teams let down, when you come off of that break. And if you can win the third quarter week in and week out, you're a good football team. You're going to post a lot of W's. And so far y'all have done that this year. Twice in two games y'all scored two touchdowns in the third quarter, and you've won every third quarter except for the Tillman game. So that's very important, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. And we tell the kids every halftime, you know, how important the first 10 minutes of that, third quarter is. And it's because you have a halftime and you have a break, and somebody has momentum. It's just like calling timeout, you know, when somebody's hot in basketball or whatever the case is, that you try to break their momentum. So you're able to do that at halftime. It's able to come up, you know, you're able to come here and you make some adjustments that you can't make the due to time on the football field. So, you know, and then go out there and then have the passion to play and the enthusiasm so you can win the third quarter. But, you know, if you win a third quarter, you're basically going to win the ball game.
Coach Clark, this is the fourth straight year we've posted a shutout in a season, at least one, and 10 of the last 12 seasons we've had at least one shutout. So you being the defensive coordinator, you get to pick first tonight. With all those nice merits to your credit there, and you get to tell me who's the pick to click. We'll start doing this every week. Who's going to click in this game? Who's got to click? Who's got to be the man that really steps up and wins this football game?
Well, I mean, it's a lot like last week. You know, we got to maintain contain, so there's going to be a lot of pressure on our ends this week. Our safeties will have to play good games as well. So, you know, Daniel Wagner and Stephon, you know, we expect to have big games. But, you know, Bobby Knox and Brendan Phillips will have to scrape the C-gaps as well and get there and wrap up and make tackles as well. So, but, you know, like you know me, Chris, I always say, it's going to have to be a total team effort. We got to get 11 guys to the football. We got to wrap up and game tackle and, you know, not let that ball slip outside, you know, our ends and, you know, just play solid defense, have a nose to the football. And get lined up. You know, we call triple A. We say, you know, get in the right alignment, do your assignment, and then be aggressive to the football. And if we do those things, we believe that we can compete every week.
Coach Starnes, you got a pick to click?
No, I mean, I think offensively it's got to be our offensive line in order to put a hat on somebody to block them. And then I have to say it has to be Micah Holloman and Noah Dickerson and in field position that we have, so it could come down to a field goal or an extra point.
Noah being the punter
to give us field position. Uh-huh. So
and Micah the kicker. All right, well, good luck this week. This could be a big feather in our cap to go 4-2 on the season and to beat a team that's 6A school. Good luck.
Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it.